Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Great I Am Radio, raising the vibration on everyday life matters with heart and soul. Here's your host, Rebecca Johns.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. Boy, let me tell you, this year's just whipping by, isn't it? It's already October 4th. I swear we just did the new year. Wasn't it just winter here in Michigan? It's about to be winter again. I don't know where you are in the world, but here we have seasons. Here in Southeast Michigan, we have a real spring, summer, fall, and winter. And they are each truly their own season. They've got these personalities to them. They've got characteristics. We all know them, right? If you are connected to any Michiganders, as we call ourselves sometimes, and you know that we really have our distinct seasons, and people have their preferences, and there is like a particular kind of baggage that comes with each season. There's the pros and there's the cons. I mean, sure, we get these really white Christmases, but we get some pretty slushy, sloppy early springs. We get really, really cold winters at times. We get some fiercely hot, humid, I mean, just muggy, take your breath away summers. And we can get some rainy falls. But with each of those seasons come these blessings. With each season comes its reason. And it's kind of tough when you're in the middle of the season and it's doing what it does. It can be sometimes difficult to appreciate it. It's sometimes when the season passes or we realize that the season is coming to its close that we start to realize the things that we're going to be missing. We start to realize the things we do appreciate that have been good. And I think that life is the same way. I think that in life there are seasons, and with each season there are reasons. And these seasons have baggage. There's something that comes with them. There's something about them. We aren't necessarily appreciative as things are happening. It's as they pass. It's when we lose things. It's afterwards. And as in the work that I do as a holistic healthcare practitioner, as a purpose coach, as a minister, through my work with The Godly Woman, as well as Heaven on Earth Ministries, our nonprofit faith-based outreach, it seems that what is often and almost constantly there is how people deal with their seasons and what lingers from one season to the next. And if we're making the best of those seasons, if we're appreciating those seasons, and sometimes the realization that we haven't done honest work by ourselves. We haven't done what we've deserved. So as we process in session, there are some times that the clients that choose to work with me really hit some sore spots. They hit spots from life haven't been great, and they may not have been great because they were on the receiving end. They may not be great because, let's just face it, we can be the perpetrator too. We can be the one that's causing the calamity. It's not always that we've been on the victim side of the coin. And sometimes it's harder to face that. Listen, it's easy for me to say, you're the one. But it's not so easy to say, I'm the one. when it comes to taking blame. People tend to like taking credit. People tend to not like taking credit for the blame. What we call that is taking responsibility. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I'm in this season of my life where it's like, now is the time. I mean, like, the time. Now is the time to take responsibility for what life has been for the last 50 years. And it doesn't really matter that I can trace things back to who did what to me when and how this affected me here and that there. I mean, that's great if I can identify those things. But sometimes we're away that we are and we don't even know why. Sometimes we've done what we've done and we really don't even know why. And that means taking responsibility anyway. And as you will often hear me say, responsibility is not something that can be given. I cannot say to you, hey, be responsible for this, and then effectively have you be responsible for it. The most that I can do is present something in front of you, expressing the urgency of the need for responsibility to be taken, and then you take it or not. My husband and I had a conversation today that was really compelling only because it put in front of me something that I really need to take responsibility for. That as much explanation and reasons and let me explain is that there can be, that sometimes we really just have to say, and what there is to say is, my bad. While it may not have been my intention, this is what my actions yielded for you in your experience of things, and that's not what I'm committed to. We might have to say those words, and we might have to mean it. We might have to really get to a place where we're facing off with what the seasons have been for what they've been. Look, I can take responsibility as a 49-year-old for having been a particular kind of 19-year-old. You got issues outstanding with me from when I was 19? Guess what, sis? So do I. You got issues with me regarding how I operated in my 20s? Guess what, bro? Because we have seasons, and the reason behind those seasons might not really be made available to you or clear in your view for years. And so we have an option. We have an option to go through the today about today. We have the option to go through today about yesterday from a couple of different places. The flesh and the ego, or the great I am. And when I say the flesh and the ego, I mean the personal character that you were raised to be, really like is absolutely the extension of your family dynamic. When I say the flesh and the ego, I mean the character that your lower vibration self acts out, lives out, that isn't the total and the most about you and who you are. When I say the great I am, I mean what is the total and the most about you. What is the highest and the greatest part of you? Great, that's the great I am. Now, what is the polar opposite of that? Great, that's the flesh ego self. And we have to contend with her. Slash him. We have to contend with that ego self. The great I am stationed inside of this flesh vessel has to contend. And how much this flesh vessel is therefore able to surrender is supportive to the process. The lack of surrender creates the suffering. It's the fight. It's the struggle. We're in a season of healing and we refuse to heal, therefore here's the struggle. We're in a season of building and really like laying foundation and doing the groundwork, but we just wish it was, you know, decorating time. We wish it was down the road. Therefore lies the struggle. There's the suffering. And there is a lot of clarity that we can gain about our current and prior seasons when we're tapping into the great I am, when we're standing in our wise space. We can recognize parts of our journeys that are unique. We can recognize the parts of our journey that are seasons changing. And we can do so consciously. When we can act consciously, we can act responsibly. It's when we're in survival mode. It's when we're struggling. It's when we're doing all the suffering that we can't possibly be creative from the great I am state because we're not present. We're not conscious. We're still defending. We're still surviving. We're still coping. And it takes, I believe, a profound amount of courage for human being, just the mechanism of human being, to stop and say, I want to change course. Right? You know that. You've tried to change stuff. Change is hard. So when human beings are surrendering in their own space to change, I believe it takes courage. When my clients show up for their calls week in and week out and speak with me and have conversations from really a place of dismantling the old lens, building, accessing a new lens, through which they can view life and then possibly see some different opportunities unfold, different action pathways for action to take. I'm humbled by that courage because these are human beings who could just keep doing what they're doing. You know, some of y'all are very successful people. You don't have to change. Yeah, sure. Maybe you got a couple of relationships that don't work out best. Yeah. Maybe you got some not ideal health stuff. Yeah. Maybe you got some not ideals. But they're quote unquote good enough. Right? Like the average bear walking around would be like, well, I'll take what they got. They don't want it. But life isn't a life to be defaulted to. It's not about do you have more or less than the person next to you, and are you more successful than who's next to you? It's you over there sitting in your chair. Are you satisfied? You good with how things are going? You feeling like this is what you're here for? You feeling like you've done your best by what's been, what is, and what could be? Or are you present to the suppression? Are you present to the unconsciousness? Are you present to the surviving and the coping and just existing and not living? And I believe when we come together and have those conversations out of choice, but also certainly necessity. I mean, it's optional. Y'all don't have to sit and have, you know, sit and philosophize about yourself and life itself. But I do believe that those of us who are willing to take the time on purpose to reflect, to detect, to correct, that we have an opportunity to take what are simple, ordinary, everyday circumstances and situations and elevate them and therefore create another realm of what life can be like that is greater. So my guest today is a neat lady who, God bless TikTok, when my videos went viral this year, excuse me, on my TikTok account, I was blessed to have an inflow of people who came my way as community members over on Facebook in the Activating Your Great I Am community, and then people who became clients in my private practice through the Godly Woman, and people who stepped up and have contributed to and even volunteering for Heaven on Earth Ministries. And so my guest today is a gal out in California. She is a child of the Most High. She is someone who, you know, when she reached out to me, and she does, I usually don't just openly share about my clients. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, is this what she makes her clients do? I don't make my clients do this. If you become a client, you don't have to come onto the radio. It's okay. All right. But this gal's special that way. So she's kind of the voice of clients at this moment. But she had this question for herself of what's it all been for, right? These 50 years. It's okay. She said I could share. And what now? In a life where she's had this experience of, I've never felt good enough. She's now experiencing comfort and strength and peace in what she says is her imperfection, being perfectly imperfect, yet still seeking perfection as a verb, right? Not as something that's active, being perfected, it's ongoing, yes? And I think that you'll find her relatable and enjoyable. And we're going to spend the next 30 minutes or so talking to this dear lady. Her name is Tara Mitchell, and we're going to welcome her to the air right now. Good morning, Miss Tara. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I am just so excited to be on with you and, you know, happy to just share a little bit of my story and hopefully let other people know that you're not alone. We're all going through something, and there is a great I Am that lives within us that can really illuminate a life of mediocrity and not good enough, constant struggle. It's just been a blessing, and to have found you, like you had just said, even through TikTok. I mean, God works through very mysterious ways. And of all the places, I am not really a social media person, so I was super hesitant, but I just kept feeling the yearn in my heart, like, you want more, but you don't know how to do more on your own. And it's funny because I have always considered myself a fairly astute person, but you hit a block wall and you go, okay, I want to hear you, Holy Spirit. I want to know what you want for my life, because clearly the one thing that I'm great at is doing bad all by myself. So how can I take what you've given me, even the traits that I'm not hugely happy about or proud of, so to speak, you know, things that we're just born into or born with. You know, I'm 5'10". I've always been taller and bigger than everybody else, and I always considered that kind of a bad thing. Like, why couldn't I be little tiny like everybody else? And it's funny because as I grew up older and older, I became less and less large, so to speak, in comparison to other people. But now I appreciate my stature. There's a reason why he made me the way that he made me, stature and all. And learning how to embrace those parts of me in a way that will then allow me to do something good with it, even if I don't like it, somebody else can gain from it. And that led me to you. And I would say, again, just anybody that's looking to make a difference in your life, your individual life, and then your little kingdom, you know, your household, your workspace, your community, your city. We have to be the beacons of light. we have to be. Somebody has to be. Why not us? Even when I feel like my
so let me ask you this.
Super dim. Yes, ma'am.
Let me ask you this. So you're going through life. You said you said part of what you feel like this season is about is reconciling 50 years.
Yeah.
I think that statement will resonate with people, but could you just speak for a second about what reconciling the 50 years of your life to date means to you?
Sure. So, again, not a psychologist. I'm no doctor, anything like that. I'm just a observationist and a studier of people and behaviors. And seeing in my life the responsibilities that I was given, I was the oldest of many girls. I inherited children. I'm a wife. I've got these responsibilities. And as I was heading closer and closer toward my 50s, I really had the yearning inside of me saying, are you going to be stuck on stupid, meaning the life that we've lived? Let's look at the person that we've become, and let's look at the behaviors that have become habits. And what don't I like about what I'm seeing? Now, it's super easy for us as humans, and I would like to believe and assert that I'm not the only one that feels this way. I think that we all kind of have this to a certain extent of that, again, not being good enough. No matter how hard I work, no matter how many hours I put in, I can come home with straight A's and they're not A pluses. It's still not good enough. When I can, in my 40s, recognize the childhood hurts and traumas that I have taken into the adulthood of my life, and then have a big situation happen. My mother passes, who was my absolute best friend, and I still claim that she was my soulmate, that the one person that understood me more than any other. That was a huge trauma mm-hmm. for me. And even though I expected it, I didn't expect to feel and think the things that I was. So you fast forward, not too forward in the future. I was diagnosed with a basal cell carcinoma in my left eye, which required a very invasive surgery that was unexpected, and that lent to an experience of 4 hours in a chair learning the difference between uncomfortable and painful. So that was the first epiphany for me in my latter 40s that went, oh my gosh, I've been missing these differences. So you fast forward a little further, and my husband and I hit a brick wall. And again, you come back to, okay, it takes two to tango. What have I added to the negativity in this situation to make this happen the way that it did? And now what do I do with this giant mess that I have become? And how do I not just get out of it, but come out of it better? I never wanted to get stuck on the excuses. I want to get better. What legacy am I going to leave if I'm not constantly growing? So that having been such a series of events that culminated into a huge aha moment, I just discovered, like, wow, I don't necessarily dislike who I am, but I do dislike the belief systems that I have bought into. I do dislike some of the reactions that I can now recognize are trauma reactions. And looking at all of that, I recognized and realized there's no way I can do this on my own. I absolutely need help. And so I started praying, and I was led to you, and you have illuminated so much. And it's, I think, what the best part for me And maybe this is a fleshly, selfish thing to say, but I'll say it nevertheless because I know that we all think it. Like, I knew that, but I didn't know how to put it into practice. I didn't have it in the forefront of my mind that said, okay, I can do this. And it is
so let me ask you,
super uncomfortable.
Had you done any type of coaching, therapies, any kind of work with other people before?
I have many times. And I say bless everybody that takes the time to hopefully invest in other human beings by listening and giving tools and all of that. But in all honesty, it's very simplistic, maybe, as it may be. We just vibe with certain people and don't with others, and that's okay. So
sure.
My experience with therapy, and I've gone to several different types of therapists, down to a neuropsychologist, really getting into brain work and things like that. And all of them, again, were great. And I walked away with something from each one of them. But I never really felt stirred in the inside enough to stick with it. When it got uncomfortable, my tools were limited in my past experience. And I think because we, as a Western society, have compartmentalized so much of our being and well-being at that we are not treating all of the being. We're trying to pick out a part, but it works in a collective. So your therapy has been different in that aspect from my other therapists.
Okay, good. So we're going to talk a
Great.
Little bit about that, okay? So, all right.
Yeah.
So, y'all, we're kind of at the midpoint of our hour. So we're going to talk about what makes the work we do with the Godly Woman in Heaven on Earth Ministry, my private practice, what makes it different. I hear this regularly. Like, it's just different working with you, Rebecca. It's just different working with you. So we're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to take a quick break. So this is a good time for y'all to grab a beverage or even maybe a pen and notepad, because you're going to want to hear what Tara has to say. We're just going to listen to our musical break. Tara, on my show, we do musical breaks. We don't have commercials. We have musical breaks. So we're going to take a musical break.
Beautiful.
And come back in 3 minutes and 20 seconds and hear what is making the difference for Tara, why this process is unfolding something distinct, and why she is getting access into her great I Am and what that is making possible in her life. Stay with me, and we'll be back.
Try, baby, try. You find it deep. never enough. Even if I try, try too hard. Tell me what to do, say anything.
Man, that song is just, what is she saying? That's Lively, by the way, Dive by Lively. What is she saying there? She's saying, listen, I don't know how to do anymore. Like, I don't know how we're going to do this, but I feel like we could fly if we would just dive, if we would dive in. And so I'm going to ask Tara to talk a little bit, but first I want to say this. One of the terms and conditions that I have with my clients when they come on board is they make a deal with me. I make a deal with them, and that is that we don't get off the ride for 90 days. You're not going to really know. I'm not going to really know until we really put 90 days in and see what we can create together in those 90 days, what we can reconcile together in those 90 days, what we can access together in those 90 days to give us an understanding of some kind of baseline of, hey, you like me? I like you? Is this working? We're going to keep going? And so when Tara and I connected, that's one of the things that I asked of her. Are you going to dive in with me? I believe we can fly. That's the great I am, right? I believe we can fly, but I'm going to ask that you dive in with me. And she's one of those people who's got the gall to say yes. So, Tara, what made you say yes to just diving in to access how you can fly?
Simply, I wanted more. I wanted more. I wanted to know that what I'm doing in living everyday life is benefiting the kingdom first, which is all of us. All of the people that I, you know, talk to every day. And so when our sessions first started and we made this agreement, I knew going in that this was not going to be pretty. But it had to be dealt with. It had to be dealt with. And I'll just, you know, you and I have talked about it for the benefit of all of our listeners. And I will say this, I come from a building industry. And the first thing that we learn in our contractor's licensing studies and exam is that without a foundation, there's nothing to build upon because it's all going to crumble. And it's funny because we all have heard this in life, and we say, oh, yeah, we agree hypothetically, or even, you know, in our minds, we go, yeah, but when it comes to the deconstruction of where is my foundation and is it laid properly, yeah, it's ugly. It's ugly, and it's certainly painful, most definitely uncomfortable. But again, I had the benefit of watching my mother just live this beautiful, beautiful life in spite of all of her traumas and hurts and everything, and transition into afterlife as well. And watching that transition, sitting next to the person that I absolutely loved most in this life, was very telling, awe-inspiring. The reality of the humanity, and the mortality that we have, and drawing upon her experience as she was going through making her peace, left such a significant mark on my soul that I knew that I had to do better. And that meant that I had to come to terms with things that I was not proud of, the things that I was proud of, the behaviors that I didn't like, that I knew could be changed, the behaviors that I did, what are the qualities that I do like in myself, what is it that I don't like in myself. Coming to that point, I had to show all of my cards. I had to lay them all out. The good,
was there
bad,
something
ugly.
About? Was there something about when you discovered me? Because you're like you, like some other people in this year have found me on TikTok. Was there something about the message you heard that made you think, okay, I think she might have some tools for me? Or was it simply that vibe you're talking about?
So I'm going to say it was both. And here's what I mean. I don't know that I could just pick out a singular phrase or something that you said that just got me, although there were many of them, and that's why I couldn't pick one out.
Okay.
I felt the unction of the Holy Spirit. I felt it inside that kind of yearning. And the first time I went, oh, that's interesting. You know, and then you move on and you go on. And then I saw you again. And then the second time I thought, okay, I really do feel like she's speaking right to me. Kind of like when we go to church, when you're searching for a new church, what is the first thing everybody tells you? When the pastor is speaking to you, you know that the Holy Spirit is there and that is for you. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Stick around. So it was the same experience with me. I just kept feeling like, But now I'm going to be honest. I had the chatter in my ear going, don't do it. She's not going to be able to help you. Oh, man, she's going to be another one that just tells you how jacked you are. Do you really want to be that honest with somebody? I had that going on. But again, because of where I was at in my life, I knew something. It was all changed because it all blew up. So it definitely changed, whether I wanted it to or not. It was how much more is it going to change and in which direction is it going to change?
Well, I give you
credit. So when I felt...
Because, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say by the third kind of unction, that third, and I'm going to call it a denozo, you know, we have this kind of teasing with the kids, like, that's a right up backside the head denozo from NCIS. Wake up. That for me was that moment. Like, stop putting it off. What's the worst you can do? Have a conversation and it doesn't go the right direction that you wanted to. You're not any worse off than you were, but it could be better. And you know what? I don't have a whole bunch of years. I may not have 50 more years. And it doesn't matter if I have a day or a year or a decade. I want my today for tomorrow to be better. And I couldn't do it on my own. And so I reached out to you, and immediately I knew, you know, you would say things to me in our initial conversation that nobody would have ever known. These are the things that I take to the foot of the throne in my quiet war room. Nobody would know these things. And you hit right on them. It was confirmation, and I knew. And that was it. And so whether you like it or not, you are stuck with me, sister.
She's been saying that since our first conversation, by the way. So you guys just feel comfortable with that threat she just made. It was subtle love. So, you know, I tell people to be ready because we are going to get real each week. Listen, I don't have much time either. I don't know whether it's 5 days or 50 days or 50 years. I don't know either. But I do know that the 5 decades I've had, there's a lot I look back on, and Lord forgive me, I consider time wasted. And I don't want to waste any more time. I don't want to spin any more tires. I don't want to take opportunities and miss them anymore. And when a client makes time each week and pays me money each week to make a difference in their lives, I take that really seriously because your breath, your energy, your cash, it could be put somewhere else. The fact that you're trusting me with it means I better do right by it. And you are one of those people, Tara, God bless you, who came in like, Rebecca, I am serious. I want this. Hold me to account for it. Let's go, girl. And you've been that. So while I can take credit for what my processes offer people that are tried and true, and for those of you listening, if you're like, yeah, but would that work for me? You can schedule a meet and greet with me that's free, and we talk on the phone, and you get to talk to me. This is people get to experience me in advance. I want you to be able to say, listen, this is what I got going on. Do you even help people that are dealing with that? Or, hey, you ever dealt with this in your life? Because if you don't have firsthand experience, I don't want to work with you. Sometimes people just want to kick the tires. Go ahead, click the link that we offer through my bio, visit, have a visit with me, talk to me, because you might have that same experience that Tara had. That first call could really make a difference for you. But Tara, what is it that you feel like the space that we carry from week to week? What do you feel like is happening week by week that's allowing you the reconciliation portion of the 50 years and the access to great I am in yourself for the next, whatever that is, today, tomorrow?
So I will share an example that literally just happened. My husband and I were having a brief conversation, and my dad had called. And I have had an interesting relationship with my father. He is a wonderful man, but he's human. And my husband looked at me, because, you know, he's obviously going through this with me and seeing the complete deconstruction of who I am. And I'm sure there's some trepidation there on his part, like, oh, gosh, who is she going to be then? This is not who I married. So he says to me, he says, I can see things changing in you. What has changed so much that you can have this soft conversation with your dad that you've never had before? And I just had to take a big sigh because I didn't even recognize it. I didn't realize it. And in just talking to him about what I was thinking at the moment, hearing these words come out of my mouth, again, another aha moment, like, oh my gosh, so the 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I can't even remember how long it's been that we've been working together. It feels like a lifetime because it is a lot of work. But in short, I can now deal with my father in a different light because I have a different perspective. And you gave me the tools that I needed to do that, to go back in history and take a specific point in time to acknowledge what I felt as a child, then step back and look at the situation a little differently now as an adult that has given me a great illumination and a peace and a freedom in a relationship that was broken my entire life. And that is just a small first step in this process of what I'm doing for God and for myself. And I'm not that person. I always thought, you know, I always believed that my life is not my own. It's always for somebody else. And as much as that is true, I took it to an extent where I said, well, I don't matter. I bought into the the dark side of that, that I don't matter. Tools that you gave me even early on, I now recognize that, of course I matter. Of course I matter. I'm here. There's a reason why you put me here. I do matter.
So
and
let
my
me,
feelings
let me
do
say
matter.
That. Yeah. You are one of the people in my client roster that we get really straight about our roles as women. And I want to, we've only got about 8 minutes left to our conversation today. So I want to, I want to focus our last portion here on the effect this has, this work that we're doing together and the access of the great I am and the development of the godly woman. Because, you know, we've talked straight. I mean, you're my client, but obviously by virtue of that, you're even here on today's show, you're obviously more to that, more than that in my heart. And our relationship is evolving. We talk pretty straight about how we are as women. And not just me and you as women, but how women are today. And we're kind of a mess. We've kind of, as you've said, been through enough in our past that have left us hurt and or hardened. And that effect is so intense because we cultivate in life. Women are the incubators. Whether it's literally birthing child or it's birthing business ideas, teams, communities, the camaraderie inside of an environment, we really control atmospheres. And when a woman is in her hurt or hardened state, it can genuinely be catastrophic. And I say that, like, I'll be the captain of that ship, okay? Like, I'm not saying you should own it alone. I'm saying I'll go first.
I'm your first mate.
Okay, and then you can be, right, we'll be, just be Gilligan and Skipper, and we'll hopefully not end up on a desert island together. However,
yeah.
Talk to me about how this work is helping you as a woman in your role as woman, just between you and yourself and you, woman, and you, woman, in life. Can you talk a little bit about that as we close?
Sure. So, yeah, this is, I don't know that this is a 5 minute, 6 minute full conversation, but I will share this.
Do your best. It's okay.
Because it's
best.
Deep, and we love this. And this, again, if you're even questioning, for any listener, if you're even questioning, I really encourage you, pick up the phone, have that conversation, because I promise you, even if it's not for you to work with Rebecca, you will be left better than before the conversation, and that is super important. I think that the simple reality is that when I, as a woman, am a mess, undone, without a focus, it's like Pigpen walking around all over. You kind of have this dust that just it follows you everywhere you go. And whether we like it or not, as women, we do have a lot of responsibility because we were given great gifts. And in recognizing that, until I start again at the foundation at ground zero, just as a woman, and that means for me personally, defining the roles. We live in a very crazy world these days. I am a woman that works in a predominantly male, you know, business. So there's a lot of pushback. If I am not comfortable and confident in my singular womanhood as a woman, can I then have any type of an impact that's positive on anybody around me? And that means everybody from my pet to my family to my coworkers and my crews to the stranger that I meet on the street. If I'm broken as a woman at my lowest common denominator, how can I be anything more than a woman beyond that? So for me, that's where it really started, is again, like, just looking at the relationships that I have, the reactions that I get, what is my self-talk? Looking at those things, again, shed the light on a broken situation in that I'm really not comfortable in my womanhood. And I would have never thought that I would say that, but I did. I was. Mm-hmm. And I'm slowly now learning to be comfortable in my womanhood. And what does that mean? What is the responsibility that comes with that? And what are the joys that I get to experience from that as well? You know, like you said, we are women. We are called to birth things, whether it be human beings, ideas, positivity. Again, the you can do this. Or maybe you shouldn't do that. If I'm not solid in just being a woman, then I wouldn't be able to be solid in the actions that as a woman I'm called to be, to do, to perform. I wouldn't be confident there either. And that's where we see then that ripple effect of what it means to be a godly woman and to experience the great I am in me, because it started with the foundation, and that is that I was born a woman. What does that mean at its foundation? And we get confused. Or I'll tell you, one of the things that really stuck out for me in identifying how am I strong as a woman and where are my chinks in my armor as a woman, you know, we care about everybody and we always want to be the encouragers, but what I figured out very quickly is that I have, as a woman, moved into enabling. That's a tough wake-up call as a woman. You go, well, how do I do this and not this? How do I encourage and not enable? And again, that comes back to being a woman. Now, can a man do it? Yes. Absolutely. And should they? Sure. But there's a different call I have as a woman than for a man. And his delivery is going to be different because he's expected and responsibility. That's different than mine. So looking at, you know, where am I? Who am I? What kind of a woman do I want to be? And how do I make these changes so that I can see it, that the people around me can feel it, can experience it? And it's a slow, arduous process, but it works, and I'm seeing it, like I said, just in that conversation, even my husband being able to see at a core level that there was no anxiety in this conversation with my father. It was peace and love, and I'm so happy to talk to you, which was a really nice change. But I would have never been able to have had that conversation when my soul was in turmoil.
Right.
And to have that
right.
peace now, I recognize that I'm a woman. I was born a girl. I wasn't Terry Jr., and that's okay.
Yes.
I have different
responsibilities. And I think what you're discovering in our process together is what we all deserve as people, the opportunity to reflect on ourselves and life. But culturally, women have been kind of swept up into a caricature of woman. It's almost cartoonish. And so to be able to pull back the layers of what pop culture says is woman and to turn into your inner self, to talk to yourself, consult yourself, and the self being that great consciousness that the Creator gave us, and to be able to say, okay, you, source of my life, you made me. Now, how can I, in my greater form, move through this role in life as wife, as parent, as business owner, as child, as sibling, as community member from that greater place? And I'm just elated that one of the results that you would be free and comfortable to share is this peace that you have with your father, and that it was noteworthy to your husband. I know that transformation is messy, and I know that sometimes it's why people avoid it, you know? And people say, well, what do you mean transformation is messy? Ask the caterpillar. He'll tell you all about it. It's messy in there. And a lot of people don't want to deal with the mess, and I really acknowledge you, Tara, you know, just to take this last couple seconds of our time together. I really acknowledge you for being a person and a woman who, in your corner of the world, have taken seriously that you matter, and therefore who you are and how you are who you are impacts other people, and the greater form that you can have, yes, of course, will be a point of satisfaction and joy and empower and freedom for yourself, but it is that for everyone else around you too. And I really appreciate you. I started today's conversation about talking about taking responsibility, and I really appreciate you taking responsibility. I hope you'll come back another time. We'll make time to talk again, but I really appreciate you being on the air with me today.
Absolutely. Everybody have a terrific Tuesday, and give Rebecca a call. You will not regret it.
God bless you, sis. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Blessings.
Peace. Oh, man, y'all. What a gift. What a gift. Thank you so much, Tara, for being on the air with us today. All right. So, you know, the ball is in your court. And I don't mean that to say in just reaching out to me, and it is, but I mean in life. For many of us in that 50s season, if you will, I talk to people in my own age group daily, and we're kind of at a messy point. We're kind of at a, we got to bury the past to have a future, lest the future be an extension of that same past that really is finished. You guys, it's over. And so wherever it is that you may seek and turn to get connection, partnership for that healing, I urge you to do it. If you'd like to reach out to the ministry or my private practice office with the Godly Woman, you can. That number is 810-432-0065. You're also welcome to email me at Rebecca L. Johns, HHP, that's Holistic Health Practitioner, at Outlook.com. Otherwise, I'll be back on the air next week. I'm talking to Jackie Moore. Jackie is a veteran of 20 years from our U.S. Army, including time as a medic. She's being certified as a doula and lactation expert, and she's joining the team of the Godly Woman to help serve our community. She's going to be working with couples trying to conceive and mamas who are prenatal, postpartum, or breastfeeding. Super excited to have her on the air. Please share today's episode and join us next week here on Great I Am Radio. God bless you. Peace.